B-Pod Studios.
Donnie at 5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, our job is to keep the people delighted. If nothing else, it's to keep the people delighted. So we are revisiting some of the best times of our show, since we obviously can't send Nick out. And I think the 911 calls in Brookline are probably bad, but probably unacceptable to play on the air. So,
although, did you see the video that somebody tweeted me who lives in Brookline yesterday?
Oh, no. Yes.
You got to go to my Twitter account. So, this guy was sitting outside just looking out his window, and there's a dude who is being blocked on the sidewalk by a turkey. This turkey will not let him by, and he starts swinging his bag almost like, I don't know, like a ninja warrior or something.
Meanwhile,
on the other sidewalks, people are just walking by, no problem. But this turkey does not like this one guy in particular.
Well, listen.
I'm always
unsure of when you can kill one of those things.
Well, he never hit him. He was just swinging it, like John said, like windmill style, just to try to scare him away. But that turkey.
I've never understood why you just can't kill him.
It's not humane. I mean, you can't just kill him.
When was the last time you had turkey?
Yeah, but you're eating it. If you're going to eat
so you take it and you pluck the damn thing.
And then you bring it home. So if you killed it, brought it home, and cooked it, that might be different.
Okay,
but if you killed it just to do it,
just like when I had the raccoons in my trash, and I was you know the story of that, when I had the raccoons in my trash, and yeah. I was going to bludgeon them to death with a shovel, and then the police, who were fans of the show, showed up and they got rid of the raccoons. They just let them out. They just dumped the trash over and let them out, which never occurred to me. I thought I was going to bludgeon them to death, and I was kicking that idea around.
Just like how it never occurred to you to let them go.
What if they get all crazy and start scratching at you? Then you got the rabies, and then you're screwed. So I was considering bludgeoning them to death, but. Because if you kill a raccoon, Rich, is that considered brutality? They are rodents. They are a danger to animals and children.
I would think that you can't do that. I mean, I would just think
I'm very on the – because you can kill moles. Because all we did in Detroit was kill moles, my parents. They just set up mole traps and killed them. So I'm wondering if you can kill a mole. Where does it end? My problem is this. My question is this: Where does it end? There are some animals that you can kill.
Rats, mice.
Yeah, you can kill rats and mice.
Rats, mice, probably snakes.
Moles, snakes.
Mm-hmm.
But then why not a raccoon?
When it gets to bigger animals, if it attacks you, it's fair game.
Yeah, but they're going to attack you. They're going to attack you.
I mean,
they're all rabid and they throw fits. They're all over you. I don't know.
Ever been attacked by a raccoon? Anybody ever been attacked by a raccoon? I've never heard of someone getting attacked by a raccoon.
Rich, where have you been living? There was a raccoon that got into my house when I was in Michigan.
But did it attack you?
It was going nuts. We had to call animal control.
I've never seen attacked by a rat.
Oh, it was going insane. Okay, can you kill a bat?
You're not supposed to, but
see,
sure.
I have killed several bats.
See, I think there's a qualifier, and that it's if it gets in your house.
Yeah. I'm not going around to caves and shooting them.
Yeah.
But if a raccoon got
in your house, I don't think that people would angry.
If you killed it to get rid of it. Well, listen, I'll tell you this: is when I lived in that dump in Brookline, the stupid bats got in our place three times, and every time I talked to the landlord, she said she was going to call the police. And I'm like, what are the police going to do? So me and her son would flail around for about a half an hour and then finally kill the damn thing. Because what are you going to do? Open a window? Those things aren't going out. They can't even see. They go, mew, 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 mew. It's all sonic.
Yeah.
You understand?
I think that it's just one of those situations where if something's in your house, I mean, I always err on the side of just trying to get it out alive because cleaning up a dead animal sounds like a nightmare anyway. But also, just if you can't, you don't have to kill it, don't kill it.
Well, I told you about the rabbit that was stuck in the batting cage netting. And it was dead.
Yeah.
To decapitate it to get it out. And I just threw it in the bushes.
Oof.
But we had to decapitate the damn thing.
Yeah, I mean, if it's stuck and it's dead, I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess that'd be the only way to get it, unless you cut the net.
Well, I'm not cutting the net. Ben, go ahead.
You see, to me, it would be like cleaner just to cut the net than to cut.
I'm not going to cut the net of a community. Do you know how much those things cost?
Hey, you can't ruin a perfectly good batting cage, Rich.
No, I'm not being sarcastic. Do you know how much those things cost?
Lots.
Yes, I'm not going to charge the damn league. I'm going to decapitate the rabbit. It's dead. Got caught, stupid. Not you, stupid. Stupid rabbit. Ben, go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Influencer Fred. How are you, sir?
Thank you. At Fred Toucher on Instagram. Yes, thank you.
I now have 273 accounts just to follow you and be influenced every day.
Thank you, Ben.
I think there's a calling here. You could be the raccoon king. Maybe Netflix could do a series on you.
Well, the thing is that I would just be killing them. I wouldn't.
What's wrong with that?
I don't think there's anything wrong. So, okay. So if I have a raccoon and it gets into a cage, say I've set a trap. I've set a trap for the raccoon. And then, Rich, what is my responsibility after that?
Why were you setting a trap?
Say I have raccoon problems and they're attacking my cat or my dog. Ah. So here we are, right?
Okay.
Both of whom I've rescued. Both are rescue animals. So I'm an animal lover. They've been attacking my cat and dog. What do I do with the raccoon?
You release it in the woods.
So I got to take a cage to the woods while the thing throws fits?
Well, I mean, you have the raccoon anyway, so you got to do something with it.
Yeah, you kill it.
Not kill it. I mean, even kill it. It's like all there's. It just seems like a mess. Like more of a. Yeah, just bring it to the woods. Let it go.
I don't know. You got bloodlust. Andrew, go ahead.
Hey guys. Hey.
Hey, what's up?
Not too much. So back in high school, my Spanish teacher was driving home one day and watched somebody in front of her hit a raccoon. She thought it was a good idea to pick it up and put it in her back seat. It ended up waking up and attacking her driving.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's trapped.
Three months of high school. Oh, yeah. It freaked out.
Okay, so what ended up happening to her?
She was out of the school for the last 3 months of the year.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's a very slippery slope. First of all, what are you doing picking up the injured raccoon? I mean, that's just the way life goes. All right. Cam, go ahead.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
Hey, Fred, just by the way, this is Cam, the guy, the infamous pooper at the Atkinson Country Club. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Oh, man. At one of our golf tournaments.
Cam, you are a hero and a mythical man to many people.
I also work in pest control, and I'm trapping for beavers right now. So if you have a problem animal and you need to get rid of it, you have to call, you know, one of us. We have a license to trap these things, and it's illegal to relocate these things, so you do have to kill them.
Yeah.
I put them to sleep. It's the most humane way to go. But bats, on the other hand, they're protected. You can only, you know, if you have bats in the house, you can only, you know, get rid of them a certain time out of the year. I think May and August are the only 2 months that you can get rid of them.
Wait. So if I have a bat in my house in January, I got to wait till May to get rid of it?
Yeah, you do, unfortunately, in Massachusetts.
Whoa. These things were flying around getting in my hair. And I got to wait till May?
I mean, if you... Yeah, they're protected. They got more rights than we do, bud.
I'm reading something right here.
Do you know what these bats were doing? They were, like, coming and, like, getting in my hair. Like, so now, like, my third floor... In Brookline, by the way, this is 14 years ago. But now the bats are flying around like crazy. They're getting in my hair, and what, I just got to deal with it?
Here's the law. Okay, so it says bats are protected by law in Massachusetts and may not be killed or captured except under permit when they are creating a risk to public health or when they are damaging property. So if it's wrecking stuff in your house, then I think you have a right to.
Yeah. You got to be able to kill them because it's awful.
A listener just tweeted, said, bats are currently federally protected and it's a federal crime to kill them. Exterminators can't even kill them. Turkeys, you need a hunting permit and can only be killed during hunting season. Other than that, you face jail. No clue on raccoons.
There's no way that a bat in your house, you go to jail. If they're in your house, they don't go away. They sit there it's not like they sit there calmly, like just hanging out. They fly into your hair. I mean, they're constantly flying. No way. It's got to be in the wild, right?
The bat?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's got to be killing them in the wild.
It doesn't say.
There's no way. Have you ever had bats in your house? Like your house?
I have not.
Oh, believe me. All they do is fly into your hair. And they got rabies and all that kind of crap.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, bats are listen, there's diseases.
And by the way, bats, like, and you can't like open a window, and like the bat will fly out. The bats I'm not lying to you. They can't see. They use some sensory like sonic thing. Well, who knew this was going to kill a break? Mike, go ahead. Mike,
can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
So some of your info is spot on, some's off. I didn't hear all the bat stuff, but I also work in pest control, and I specialize in a lot of wildlife stuff. What Cam said earlier about catching and euthanizing is true, except there's another part to it. You can also, the pest professional can release it on property. As a homeowner, though, you can absolutely trap. But what you have, you can do whatever you want because it's your property. A licensed pest control person has to either drown it, suffocate it, or release back on your property. As far as bats, there's a bat in your house. Generally, they'll fly around for a bit, but then they'll perch on like a corner somewhere. And with a piece of Tupperware, you can easily trap it and let it go outside.
I called pest control, and they were like, "No, you can't do that."
Yeah. So the problem is, I've been in this industry for a little over a year. The problem is, the vast majority of the industry is pretty poor and do things a lot wrong. For example, I got a call this morning from a woman who had a raccoon, which I say raccoon. I've never heard anybody pronounce it like you, but that's a different story.
It's a raccoon, yes.
raccoon, whatever. But so the woman called me this morning because I talked to her yesterday and she said, well, we have someone else on the way. I'm like, all right, well, we would do A, B, and C, so call me if you have any problems. She called me back today and said the company sealed the two gable vents, which was how the raccoon was getting inside. The problem is the raccoon was still inside, right? So now you have a raccoon trapped in your attic space that's going to rip apart your attic, either die trying to get out or end up in your living space. This raccoon also had babies, which is why raccoons are in our attic, where you're supposed to get the raccoon out first. But usually, a lot of times in my experience, pest control companies are like half on with their info and half off.
Right. Oh, can you imagine that if you had the raccoon with the babies in your attic? Mm. See, I don't have an attic now. I haven't had an issue. The police came because they were listening to the show and they just dumped the raccoons out. But I've never killed a raccoon. But you get a bat in your house. There's not. I disagree. They're not easy to trap. And by the way, if you have the balls to like go around and wait for it to perch,
and get like a Tupperware thing out.
Yeah,
and
get a Tupperware thing. You know,
because that thing's gonna have a fit once you close it in there.
Yeah, I mean it's they're frightening as hell. They used to get through this. There was a dumb skylight in this stupid attic where we lived that didn't have any air conditioning, and in that horrible Brookline, and the bat would get in through that, and then I mean, believe me, I would wait for the bat to leave. I'd open up the skylight, I would open up the windows, and I would be like, "Get out of here, bat!" And then the bat wouldn't leave. And then I'm like an idiot walking around with a tennis racket trying to hit the stupid bat. So there you go.
That's why you should run from turkeys.
I'm on the fence if you can kill them. Sam, go ahead.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. I got a raccoon story for you. So I grew up in Newton, and our neighbors were this wonderful Italian family, and the grandfather lived with the family. He's this wicked, friendly, old Italian guy. but he would set cage traps for the raccoons in his backyard. And when he would catch one, the way he would kill it is that he would use a hose to fill up a garbage can with water. And then he would drop the cage into the garbage can and drown the raccoon. I have no idea what he did with the body after that. I assume he threw it in the regular trash, but he was just drowning raccoons left and right. And this guy was definitely not concerned with any state laws, town ordinances, or whatever regarding killing raccoons or not.
Yeah, he's like the old school Italian part of Newton. I know exactly what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Jeez, man.
Well, the guy just said you drown him. The animal control guy just said you drown him. Rich, I don't know. It's a catch-22. I've never killed a raccoon. I've only killed bats.
Well, I mean, listen, the bat's what I get, dude, because that would freak me out. Because you want to talk about the ultimate, like, test of not being a puss is putting that thing in a piece of Tupperware, and then you have to walk down several flights of stairs then release it outside while it's losing its crap in your hands.
No. And by the way, they perch, but then if you come by them, they fly into your face. Like, they touch your face.
Ew.
Yeah. They're incredibly... Listen, I'm a pussy about a lot of things, but I'm not afraid of animals. The bat is insanely disgusting.
Yeah.
It's just awful. So, maybe I'm up on federal charges now.
Someone you're just all going a down picture with of a bat they snagged in a bag. It's terrifying, man. Just looking at it freaks me out.
Oh, it's awful.
Oh, dude
they
bridge.
Touch you.
Yeah, I know.
Dude,
I know.
They fly and they touch you.
There's this bridge in Austin, Texas, if you've ever been there before. It's like right in front of the Capitol. It's this big, giant bridge that everyone at sunset stands on because underneath the bridge are like a million bats. And when the sun starts going down, they all come out at once and the sky turns black. At first, it's like, oh, these are birds. And then I found out they were bats and I'm like, oh, my God, nightmare stuff.
See, at least those bats, they know what they're doing. They're not running into your house. Let them live under the bridge for all I care. You come in my house, that's my territory. What is it called when they you get on your lawn and you get to shoot people?
What? Stand your ground. Shoot people?
No, you can stand your ground. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. You make it sound like it's something that you like you want to do. What's that? It's a cool thing where you stand in your yard and you get to shoot people.
Yeah, you stand your ground. Hey, look at you. What are you trying to do? You're on my property. Kaboom. Someone says they got attacked by geese on a golf course, which happens all the time, but you can't kill the geese. But those gooses are wild as hell. They get a flutter. They attack you. They get a fluttering. There's an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm where they kill a goose. All right. Well, that was fun. All right. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
No, Fred, come on, man. This is a family radio show.
No, it's not. Not really.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Cliff, I feel you. You had to get a rabies shot because there was a bat in the house. I understand that. Not good. Not good. All right, Rich, what's going on?
Listen, Fred, I know we're all looking for good news right now. This is something that we all crave. We want to go somewhere other than John Krasinski to get our good news. And, Fred, I might have the best news of all. As a matter of fact, this was news that even though we don't know 100% whether this will end up coming to fruition, just the fact that there is some positive vibes behind this and positive thinking behind this makes me somewhat happy for the outlook of the future. Fred, Tommy Lee of Motley Crue was interviewed yesterday, and he said as far as the big stadium tour with them and Def Leppard and Poison, he says everything is still a go.
All right, so I was talking to one of my wife's friends the other day, because my wife's reconnecting with all these people, and she had a friend who was working she just was at a record store, like, going through stuff, and Tommy met her. Mm-hmm. And she was like 21, and he took her on tour, Like, he met her, and he was like, I love you. And she, I guess he was really cool, but he took her on tour, like, around the world with him.
Oh, wow.
Just met her at a record store and was like, let's get on the bus.
Fred,
here we go.
He also said that, you know, out of all these years, he's done so many different things with his drum kit. He's made a roller coaster out of it. He's done the cage. And he said, this is the first time we've done, like, a stadium in a long time. And he goes, so we had to think of something over the top, and I can't wait to show it to you, Fred. And to that, I just say, all I want is Vince Neil fumbling around stage.
I don't want to, yeah. Don't need any, no one else in the band. Because I feel sorry for Mick Mars. Nikki Sixx has become unbearable. And Tommy Lee, whatever. He's a good drummer. But Vince Neil is the star of the show. You know what they're going to do with the drums? Distract you from Vince Neil. They're going to just do it. They're going to have like... Because you notice that they've... And I know they've had him for a while, but now there's like eight female background singers.
Yeah.
So like it's just like anything to move your eyes away from Vince.
Yeah, the Nasty Habits. They've gone from just like, you know, two back in the feel good days to now it's like an army that stands in front of Vince Neil.
Which is
it's
good
like a wall,
because
human wall.
Because Mick Mars married one of the Nasty Habits and she took him for all he's worth. So it's probably good that they're still doing that. Yeah. So
that's good news, Fred. I mean, listen, out of all the things that I know you were looking forward to this summer, it was the high comedy show of seeing Vince Neil. Hey, and you know what? To be quite honest, the date on that is the end of August.
Yeah.
It's like the 24th and 25th at Fenway Park. Yeah. And if this is something that there's still plans, like they haven't changed plans and it hasn't already been canceled, that's got to be a good sign for baseball. It's got to be a good sign for the NFL starting on time.
Yeah.
And I know it just goes to one dumb drummer, you know, talking about this tour and maybe it's...
No, but Rich, you're wrong because there's a tremendous amount of money that could be lost if they, you know, if they are still ready to go and then they don't do it. So, I mean, by him saying that they're still ready to go, I mean, that is a good sign. It means that the people behind the band, that the people that finance the tour, which is, you know, as you know, tens of millions of dollars to get this thing going, and that I think that is a very good sign. And I do believe that these things will start. I do believe that, you know, I mean, August is a long way away, and guy with Trump, the doctor over there, said
Dr. Fauci.
Fauci, that if it does come back, that they'll be much more equipped to handle it.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, if this is, they've already, you know, they've been through it before, and they've learned a few lessons. So hopefully, they'll have the tests and they'll have all that stuff. But the one thing about all this is that, you know, when you go back to concerts, you know, I wonder how weird it's going to be and how different we are going to be when we go to shows. Like, I mean, are you going to still be a little freaked out every time somebody coughs? I'll tell you what. Of all the things that I've heard, Mike Gorman might have made the best sense. And he said, you know what? I don't mind people not hugging anymore. He goes, if we just get rid of hugging, like for people that, other than, of course, you know, your family or stuff like that, but like strangers that you meet or like, you know, it's like the wife of somebody that you've never met before. Hey, you know, I'm fine with that. Get rid of handshakes too. We don't need handshakes anymore. Like that's something, can't we just like, you know, nod our head or some sort of, you know, like
a
sign
bow.
Of approval, like you're okay.
That'd
yeah,
be perfect.
I mean, listen, bowing's fine. You know, hey there, I wouldn't mind doing just like, you know, they do in the Middle East. I'd have no problem with that. Or, you know, even if it's just like, I don't mind the elbow thing. I don't want to touch your hand, you know, and it's kind of been that way for a while and you handshake because you're supposed to, but if they just got rid of handshakes altogether, if this is the thing that causes to get rid of handshakes and hugging strangers, I'm all for it. At least we got something positive out of this.
All right, Howie Mandel.
Well, no, you don't. Okay, so you're a big fan of hugging strangers. You're a big fan of that.
Strangers?
Like somebody who gets introduced to you. Like it's like the wife of a friend of yours.
To be honest, it doesn't bother me. I don't care.
You see, to me, it's like it's always weird because you don't know whether you're supposed to
I
hug or say
smooch.
Hi. What's that?
I give him a big smooch.
You know, you just kiss him on the cheek. You do a Robert Kraft, you know. You give him, get him for a kiss on the cheek.
Yeah, get a hot dog.
You give him a little RKK.
No, I've never thought about it, actually.
I got no problem. Get rid of both, and that might be the thing. And John, you know, you were saying...
Maybe if you hug someone, Rich, you'll get the antibody that will prevent you from getting the coronavirus again.
Oh.
You could look at it that way.
Yeah.
Because it's negative. And according to Dr. Fauci, which I've been sent several articles, he says the disease is not mutated, meaning that if you do get it, the chances of getting it again are infinitesimal.
Mm.
Straight from Dr. Fauci's mouth.
And then there was a story yesterday that 51 people in South Korea apparently in the same day ended up getting it again. But they said it might have been because it was dormant. Like sometimes you can get a negative test,
right.
But it could just mean that it went dormant inside of you and
That's
then got triggered again.
That's what he said. He said, but he did say, and I'm not lying, he did say there was an infinitesimal chance that he believes that there's an infinitesimal chance of you getting it twice.
Well, let's hope so. That would be awesome.
Well, you know what they're doing in Sweden is that they're in the mixed results. It depends who you read. Is that in Sweden they've limited you can only dine sitting down, and they've canceled high school and college, but they still have elementary school and stuff. So their theory is, and I don't know if this is better or for worse, but their theory is if you protect people with compromised immune systems and older people, that by letting the people out, they'll develop the antibodies to fight the disease. Now, Rich, I'm not saying that this is the proper thing to do, because I am by no means, I don't even know how to pronounce the word of the people that are experts in this, entomologist or something.
Something like that.
Epidemiologist, I'm being told.
Epidemiology?
Dan knows everything. Whatever you just said.
Epidemiology. Sorry, Fred. I was trying to say it in your headphones.
I know.
Entomology. I know nothing.
You know everything. You're really Captain News. So I am not one of those. So I'm not one of those. But Rich, I would not say this is for better or for worse. But because I do not know, and I do not, and listen, I am practicing social distancing. Don't you worry about me. I'm just here getting insane. But in Sweden, they were attempting this. They are attempting this, and we shall see if this succeeds or not. That's all.
We should just switch straight to finger guns now. We see someone.
I'm all for that. Just going, what's up, Pacha?
Ooh.
Yeah, you give him finger guns or you just go Fonzie on him. You just go, hey.
Just throw the shocker up.
And now really sit on it is an insult. Because if you sit on it, you're as good as dead. Mm. Sit on it.
And rotate.
Where did Happy Days, if we can get philosophical here. Where did Happy Days come up with the insult, sit on it? Because that did not exist, I believe, before Happy Days.
Shall we find the scholars of that generation?
I mean,
look into their finest leather-bound books. Where does indeed Happy Days come up with the inspiration behind the catchphrase, sit on it?
Because academics, for years, have been studying the language used in Happy Days. Like, I still got it. Like, Ralph Mouth was afraid he was always going to lose it. But he still had it.
'Twas 1972 when the phrase, sit on it, had originated.
And they made Fonzie wear a windbreaker because it was considered too devilish to have a leather jacket on.
Yet in 1983, in the movie Zapped, the term "and rotate" was added to the end of said phrase. I believe it was an ad lib from one Willie Ames.
Well, Willie Ames was the king of the ad lib.
Of course.
I mean,
he was.
If you were on set with Willie Ames, you kind of just gave him a rough draft and let him riff. Willie Ames.
It is not known what he meant by "and rotate." Yet, the phrase itself does have a comic delivery when spoken out loud.
Well, he was a big Second City guy. So, what you would do is you would just give him a premise and let him riff.
Well, I mean, yeah, listen, those Charles in Charge riffs don't come from nowhere, all right?
Well, listen, Bible Man was essentially just, you go, Willie, and you make it happen. You follow the scripture. All right, Mike, go ahead. This show is so stupid. Mike, go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hey.
I was always under the impression that when Fon said sit on it, he was referring to having a gentleman sit on his genitals, is what I always thought.
Yes! The genital factor.
But
yes,
wouldn't that be negative towards Fonzie in that it would hurt?
In that day and age, it would have. Yes, I agree.
No, because it would hurt.
Yes.
Like, if he's not referring to sex, because there's no way.
Okay.
No, he's not referring to sex. There's no way.
Okay.
So if it was sit on my genitals, it would be sitting on me while I was clothed.
Huh.
And I think that would be considered, that's not to my advantage.
There's a Wikipedia page for sit on it.
Is there really?
At that point, I'm a power bottom.
It just says, sit on it. Derogatory catchphrase created by Bob Brunner and said by Fonzie in the 1970s to 80s television show Happy Days, meaning to piss off.
Ah.
Okay. By the
somebody
way,
off.
The shows of Happy Days, the last two seasons, were so good.
Oh, Jesus. Fonz becomes a teacher at the local high school. Yeah, it's bad.
Right. Even though he doesn't have a high school education.
I know. Somehow he manages to pull that off.
And then Ted McGinley comes in and they redo Al's.
Right. That's right.
Do you remember the... Okay, this is an episode of Happy Days. Remember Styx? He was, like, the only black guy on it. So, Styx was on, like, a couple episodes. So, listen, this has really happened on Happy Days. So, Fonzie goes, like, hey, we're going to double date. And he gets these two white chicks. And one of the white chicks finds out that Styx is her date, and she passes out. That really happened on television.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
And it wasn't in the 70s. It might have been, like, in the 80s.
Oh,
so she is so taken aback by Styx that she passes out at the very idea of dating an African American.
Oh, my God.
I'm not lying. You could probably YouTube it. But, I mean, there's racism and then there's passing out.
Yeah.
Because you're in the presence of an African American gentleman.
Well, next week we shall research the meanings behind such phrases as cruising for a bruising and get bent.
Well, you know what cruising for a bruising is that you're about to get a knuckle sandwich right up there.
Knuckle sandwich, that is in week 3 of Masterpiece Phrase Theater, Master Catchphrase Theater.
All right. Oh, boy.
Sock you right in the kisser. What is the origin of that one?
We still have two breaks. Here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. The stack is sponsored by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payment, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Go to windownation.com.
You know, Chad Finn just came out with an article from the Boston Globe that I found kind of interesting. If I had to think back of, you know, just in the recent history, my favorite Boston sports team, like, you know, from the top of the roster to the bottom of the roster, I'd probably have to go with the team that won the Stanley Cup, the Bruins. I mean, that was just a great group of guys. Mm-hmm. I think everyone in the room kind of feels the same way about that.
Yep.
But he wrote an article about what is your least favorite single season Boston team, and he goes through and kind of makes some arguments for a couple of them.
Celtics?
Well, see, let's get to that, because one of the things he threw in there was the Bobby Valentine Red Sox, and to me that team was so clownish that I almost was entertained by it.
No, like, it was the best.
Yeah, that was the best. I agree.
It exposed how dumb baseball writers are. No one has less self-esteem than me. But I told you guys when I found out what he was doing in spring training, and he was being praised for it. And I went, if I'm on a varsity baseball team in high school, and my manager is doing this, I'm calling him an a-hole. Like, The idea that he would – who was the shortstop that they traded to the Tigers? Who was the guy?
Julio Iglesias.
Yeah, so he's down at – he's at shortstop with Iglesias. He's – I mean, it's insane. He was insane.
He had lunch break or little snack times and stuff like that.
I mean, it was just ridiculous. I mean, it was ridiculous. And these – and we – it was so fun – because we would read these articles from these baseball writers lauding him and saying how revolutionary he was. And you're sitting there going, these guys are like the best baseball players in the world. And you have some dude out there like standing in the batter's box with them. And you're like, this is like he's treating them like T-ball players.
Fred, tomorrow our best of clip that we're going to play has to do with the end of the Bobby Valentine era. Do you remember when I dared went to the press conference and asked a question and I got called out by Sports Talk Matt?
Yep.
Yeah, well, Sports Talk Matt, I don't know what he's up to now, but I'm sure it's big things.
He's in Vegas, baby.
That's right, he's in Vegas?
Yes.
Yeah.
But Fred, Sports Talk in Vegas?
Yes, he is.
A lot of sports talk in Vegas now. You know, they got a new football team coming up.
A lot going on.
It's like you know, Cirque du Soleil. But I have to say that my least favorite, and it sucks because there's a lot of players that I really liked that were on this team, but it was one guy that made it this way was Kyrie Irving. And that was because Kyrie Irving was the key. Like this was the end of a, 6 to 7 year plan for Danny Ainge.
Yeah.
He had saved up all of these picks. Everything had rolled into the right direction, and you had Kyrie Irving. And up to that point, everyone was like, this is it. Let's go. The beginning of something massive. And when he completely hijacked that season and became the most unlikable character in Boston sports, he might be, in recent history, there can't be anyone more unlikable than that guy.
Christ.
Just for being a pure, just a-hole and conceited Christ. And ruining the team. That, to me, I think was the most unlikable team. And now, history is going to be a little kinder because they were able to get, what's his name?
Kemba Walker.
They were able to get him. So that was, that kind of salvaged it. And the team's really good now and everyone's gotten better. But still, at the time, you thought it was over. You thought that this whole stockpile that they had built up and that Kyrie came in and, you know, and then you had Al Horford leaving and he had ruined the Celtics. So for me, like, that was the least enjoyable team.
Well, did they have the chicken and beer team?
Fred, I'm glad you brought that up because in retrospect, I think the 2011 Red Sox are far worse.
Yeah.
I mean, take a look at those. Adrian Gonzalez, not likable at all. Carl Crawford, J.D. Drew. I mean, Ortiz was on the team.
Remember, you had
Jacoby Ellsbury, who's on his way out. Josh Beckett, John Lackey before he turned things around.
Like, was in the hospital and then, like, was playing golf the next day.
Yeah.
Hardy saw him playing golf.
The chicken and beer thing. I mean, you had a lot of unlikable guys on that team. And, of course, you remember September of that year. So
Lackey is one of the most unlikable players I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the year, too, because, I think everyone loved Dustin Pedroia, but wasn't that the first year that he even kind of, there were some cracks? Like, there were in the, like, he was.
Was that the year, John, that he said it wasn't his responsibility?
It was,
someone got hit by a pitch?
Yeah.
No, that was afterwards.
It wasn't that.
It was a different incident that happened before that.
There were a lot of unlikable guys on that team. Remember Clay Buchholz, who lost like 10 pounds during one start?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know?
He was using the
bullfrog.
There were a lot of guys who you didn't like on that team.
That's a good point. Adrian Beltre, what was the deal with that? Adrian Gonzalez, rather, with the phone. He was calling the GM to complain about the manager.
Yeah, he was so standoffish that year. I mean, remember all the capital that Theo Epstein, you know, traded to get him, and it was awful.
Oh, and how they turned on Terry Francona, who, once again, I love Terry Francona.
Yeah.
And if you turn on that guy, there's something wrong with you.
He forced him out.
Right, man, you've convinced me. That's the worst.
That's the worst team. Because it's very difficult to find a likable guy on that team. And I would even throw Pedroia in because he's still taking a paycheck. So, I mean, I would do the same thing, but I mean... I wouldn't be proud of myself. All right. Well, listen. We've discussed happy days. We have discussed if you're allowed to kill raccoons. There have been so many important topics that have been bandied about today, if I may say, as we continue to broadcast from our own homes and listen to Ass Man. I encourage everyone to stay sane, listen to 98.5 The Sports Hub, and watch Big Mouth on Netflix if you have not. That'll do it for us. Everybody, look at some asses. Just go take for a walk. Just if for nothing else to look at asses.
Hey, remember, glove up, mask up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.